Hello and welcome. My name is Jo Reyes and I'm a director at the Global Business Initiative on Human Rights, or GBI. I'm speaking today to the chair of GBI, Andrea Schemberg. Andrea was previously part of the team that worked with Professor John Ruggie to develop the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, or UNGPs, which turned 10 this month. Andrea is in a pretty unique position, having been so closely involved in the process and having continued to work on implementation of the UNGPs in various forms in business and human rights since their adoption back in 2011. I'm going to ask her a little bit about her reflections on the last 10 years of the UNGPs and also a little bit more about where she thinks we're going in the next decade. Andrea, welcome.
Hi, Joe. It's really nice to be with you today.
Could you start by laying out for us what some of the key changes are that you've observed in the last 10 years around UNGPs and around implementation in practice?
So what were we imagining when we were developing the UN Guiding Principles? Whereas we did actually have a very specific vision, a very specific set of objectives, and of course, hopes, we really didn't know for sure whether the UN Guiding Principles would have the traction that indeed they have had. And I think that's really a testament to the rigorous process, an evidence-based process with worldwide consultations and really taking the time to listen and build principles that were reflective of wide inputs from around the world and different actors. I'm always so shocked and delighted when I see people talking about the UN Guiding Principles in, you know, far corners of the world and using them as a tool. And that happened to me when I was at the Almaty Management University for a Business and Human Rights Summer School. And, you know, I saw companies from the region getting up and talking about the UN Guiding Principles. And that was really amazing to me, because the goal of the UN Guiding Principles really was to create this common language, this authoritative foundation. And that's what's so exciting to me.
And what are some of the main ways that you've seen company practice change over that past decade?
I'd have to say, actually, this idea of common language is really one of them. You know, over the last 10 years, companies have crystallized the UN Guiding Principles as their reference point from which to start their human rights work. Terms such as human rights due diligence, remedy, cause, contribution, direct linkage, leverage, that's really now a shared language. And I don't think that we can underestimate that importance. And I see it with my work with companies and in GBI, that at least it gives us a common basis on which to have a conversation. The second big change I've seen is that we have a lot more honesty in the conversation now. Whereas perhaps 10 years ago, the tendency was to pretend that human rights issues were being managed, we really are starting to get to a place where more and more companies are admitting, even publicly, that this is just really hard, and that issues will arise. And, you know, pretty much we can never say that human rights work is done. Third, I think companies are starting to ask harder questions. Today, I see a real difference in the willingness of at least some companies to ask tough questions of themselves. So I see a change from asking the easy questions, how do I do a policy? How do I do internal training? To starting asking the hard questions about the very business model of the company, or regarding the company actions, even in the most important markets. Fourth, I see that companies now recognize that legislation can be useful. We went from having companies opposing outright any business and human rights legislation 10 years ago to hearing companies welcoming legislation in constructive ways, both at the national or regional level, and even in the context of international business associations, regarding what might eventually be a useful agreement at a UN level. And then lastly, increased willingness to engage. I've seen really an increased openness from companies to talk with NGOs, governmental actors, and institutions on human rights issues. I think companies' comfort level engaging with other actors and even leaning on their information, advice, collaboration has really grown over the last 10 years.
Thanks, Andy. That's really useful. What do you think companies should be really focusing in on over the next decade?
So first, I would say that more companies need to be more proactive and not simply reactive to human rights issues. Some companies have taken large and really important steps towards implementing the UN guiding principles in meaningful ways internally. For example, we increasingly see at least some human rights issues in some geographies integrated into management systems with accountability attached. But most of the big moves for meaningful implementation are still the result of a crisis. It appears from my vantage point that most companies are still largely reactive instead of proactive on managing human rights risks. Second, I think there's still need to improve recognizing and giving priority to the worst issues. I don't see companies still doing a good enough job of giving deserved weight to their potential involvement in the absolute worst stuff: international crimes, slavery, possible genocide, torture, absent some political actions such as sanctions. And then, you know, we talk about policy incoherence on the state side, but it's true also on the company side. The human rights message still has not made its way into a whole lot of big and important spaces inside many companies, including legal departments or those departments dealing with early project development. So human rights is still often seen as kind of this add-on or something that prevents and slows business instead of being integral to helping the company do good business. The policy incoherence is evident when you look internally at company practices, but it's also then sometimes made public when messages emerge from marketing, communication departments, and government affairs departments, or even the CEO, that are really tone deaf to the company's commitment to human rights. Fourth, there's often a lack of effective communication, I think, internally to help colleagues not in the human rights department or not working on sustainability to understand the importance of human rights risk to the business. We still see a need to build skills to describe and explain the relevance of human rights to the business while avoiding human rights jargon, but being really clear about what are the risks to people as well as to the business, and then offering clarity about actions and consequences. And finally, you know, one of the things that I think needs to change over the next decade is that we need to see our human rights practitioners bearing less of a burden. Right now, human rights practitioners are often bearing just too big a burden for the sheer scale of their work. Many companies have done really interesting work creating cross-functional committees, creating human rights responsibilities across business units, and having structures in place to elevate human rights issues to executive committees regularly, for example. However, we still see human rights responsibilities in other companies in the hands of one person or one very small team, perhaps in one department at the corporate level. Whereas there are interesting efforts to spread human rights knowledge and implementation, often there are no concrete incentives in terms of career advancement or performance points for taking up the issue. And we still see human rights practitioners too often having to strategize about how to get themselves into the important business discussions, which are where key decisions are being made.
Thanks, Andy. Really great to get your insights there. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Joe. It was really a pleasure to be with you.
Just to remind you, if you haven't already visited the GBI Business Practice Portal, you can find this on our website at gbihr.org. There you're going to find lots of videos, resources, and tools to get you started on business and human rights. It's written by business for business, looking at everything from direction and roadmaps, making policy commitments, identifying human rights impacts, dealing with grievances, raising awareness, training capacity building, reporting and disclosure, driving change within your organisation, and lots of tips on how to talk to colleagues about human rights within your business. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast today, and we look forward to engaging with you again soon.